This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. Well, episode 187. I'm going to explain this provisional show title here in just a second. So this is episode 187 of Lotus Effect, which we currently have provisionally titled Puppy Wine. And we have ways of doing our show titles. And in fact, we even had one today that occurred over the dong. But this is, as you know, this shit's all made up. Content doesn't fucking matter. I'm Phone Boy.
Well, if there's anybody out here tonight that we've offended in any way,
we feel like our efforts have been rewarded.
They've definitely been rewarded. And of course, you know, I feel the same way. I feel fantastic if we've offended anyone in any way. We're definitely rewarded by that. And of course, I'm Phoenix.
If we did offend anybody, we'd like to take this opportunity to make up for it by doing something that will offend everybody else.
Welsh.
We would just like to say, fuck all you No King protesting bitches out there.
As I wrote in the script here, I said, our opening clips, let's just say they refer to all the folks out there today protesting for dollars, even in our not-so-quaint southern town. We will tell you what our local rag says probably comes out on like Tuesday or something, so I'm sure we'll get some press on it. And we'd also like to welcome our Apple podcast and Spotify listeners. We have some on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, not yet, but.
But I am getting feedback from people who I do say.
But there was a listen on Spotify.
There was. We had a listen. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know what that
means.
When
was that?
I looked at it like last night, so I don't know.
You know what? It could have been the customer who I had said that we were on Spotify, and they said, oh, I'll check it out. So maybe they actually checked it out.
They did.
Welcome to all our Apple Podcasts and Spotify listeners, and. Calm down, y'all. Don't freak out.
Yeah, but I think I'm gonna freak out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, and given the state of the world, I would say everybody's freaking out right now. My God, yes. And the Lotus affects everyone differently. And, you know, we want to know how and where it's affecting you. Tell us about it.
I got mail. Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, we invest some time putting this shit together. We really do. And we operate on the value for value model, which consists of the three T's of time, talent, and treasure. And you can send us your treasure by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on that green We Like Money button. And you can use that to send us some cash via PayPal. Or if you're into Cash App, you can use the cash tag TheLotusEffect33.
We actually did get a metalhead.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. I've got that in there.
Yeah.
You can also now visit our merch store at lotuseffect.shop, where you can buy our crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. And we're in the process right now of updating the Rideshare Radio logo. So we've So yeah, we'll
So if any of you have gone to lotuseffect.shop and noticed that there's no Rideshare Radio merch, it is because we're currently in the middle of a re-logoing.
Yeah, rebrand. Yes, we're doing a little rebrand on
It's not really a rebrand because ultimately it's the same logo, just different coloring. Yeah, different that's part of
that's considered rebranding.
Well, excuse me, marketing professional.
But yeah, it's part of my day job. It's sad to do that. Anyway, you can also go to lotuseffect.shop if for some reason you don't like PayPal or Cash App, whoever Fourth Wall uses as their payment processor, you can actually set up a one-time donation or recurring donation through that also. The VIG is pretty similar. Now,
like I said, there was actually a donation made through the Cash App from Cotton Gin for $10. Now, there's something very unique about this particular donation, and that is the fact that it was made to a new show that we did the pilot for called Two and a Half Bens. It is Phone Boy and Sir Ryan Bemrose, two graybeard tech grouches who we love to hear on the microphone, and of course, yours truly, who is an up-and-budding cyber IT professional. And we just kind of fap on the mic about shit that pisses us off about certain tech stories.
Yes,
and
it's
a great goddamn time. However, if you did not listen live during Studio 33, which is when this podcast will occur, it is straight to tape, so the only time you will hear it live is during Studio 33. No other time. It will not have its own time slot at current. However, if you did not catch the pilot episode, well, sucks to suck, guys, because Phone Boy fucked it up audio routing wise, and the only voices on the recording were mine and his. Sir Bemrose's never made it.
Yeah, and unfortunately my backup recording died after about a half an hour. So it's
Tech just absolutely bent us over unmercifully. Yeah, so if you didn't hear it live,
But we did prove the concept, and we are. I think we're planning to do it tonight, right? That's still the idea. I mean, I think that's the.
I missed something. Time out.
I thought maybe. Anyway, we'll have
this. Have to be talked about behind the mic. Yeah. I think I missed a page in the script.
Yeah, I thought we had talked. Anyway, but the point is that we're going to do this. I think we're going to do this again. Most likely.
Yes, there is probably plenty of people out there who would listen to a podcast where we respond to a phantom Sir Bemrose.
We're not that close to that motherfucker anyway.
So, oh my God, right? It's almost like we don't need him.
Well, anyway, we understand, right? So Cotton Gin did send us $10, and thank you, sir. We appreciate that for a podcast that y'all didn't. Well, we'll get to hear, but it proved the concept that it was worth listening to. So,
and it really was so much fun. It's unbelievable.
Yes. So, meanwhile, we completely understand you may not have the cash to send us cash or whatever. We do want to make sure the investment we make in the show is valuable. We get stuff out of this too, right? And what we find the most valuable is you all just letting us know that you're listening. And it only takes a minute or two, and here's how you can do that. Now, if you happen to be using a podcast app to listen to us, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us in Spotify or pretty much any podcast app. And of course, if you don't, it's also got an RSS feed, so you can however you want to listen to it. You want to just go to lotuseffect.show and listen to it. That's probably what Tigger does if she wants to listen to a back episode. Nothing wrong with that. However you want to listen to us, it's there on all of those things.
We are very findable.
Yes, we are. Well, especially now that we're on Spotify.
And it's apparent that we also are very findable on this other platform. Mastodon.
All right, so you can send us a message on that massive dong, and we've been stirring the shit today, in fact. I'm PhoneBoy at lotuseffect.social. This is Phoenix at lotuseffect.social.
P-H-E-O-N-I-X.
And then our email is idontgiveafuck@lotuseffect.show, and I think that matches perfectly with the art that we got from the massive dong this morning.
At which I want to give credit to one amazing pedalhead, Wookie, who sent me in the back channel this fantastic message. It's literally a balloon bouquet of the birds, and someone on the dong has the original for this artwork,
or they cut it up, whatever they did. Like, they provided a nice little template so that we could do something. I said, I like this idea. And so I decided that this that the thing I put in the chat now, and if you're actually listening to this, so if you're actually listening to this to our show, and you're actually using a podcasting 2.0 app that has the new chapter, the next generation chapters feature, right?
Or if you hop in the chat at lotuseffect.chat, you can see the link that was posted to this particular piece of art.
Yeah, exactly. Well, except if they're already, anyway, if they're not here, they can't see it, but or now they can't, so they can't go back and see it from before. So regardless, I'll probably put it in the show notes this time.
I have a feeling it'll make it into
I think it'll go into the show notes this time.
But
just
to circle back around, to send feedback to us, I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. We know it's offensive. It's obscene. That's the point. That's why we have that email. We are thinking about finding another email.
Yeah, and I realize I need to figure out why this is now messed up.
We do know we need to set up another email for those who may be some pearl-clutching soy boys or whatever it was said. It was fucking hilarious. It became a show title.
Yeah.
Not to mention snail mail. If you want to send us something physical, hit us up in the back channel.
Yeah.
We'll be glad to give you an address. You can send us something physical media-wise. We also, like we said, join us in the chat sometime. We do Rideshare Radio Fridays at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. We do this shit show starting at 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central on Saturdays in the after snoons. And of course, following the content, we do Studio 33, which is absolutely a great goddamn time. We take your requests, we shit talk. Sometimes we get a game of Cards Against Humanity whipped up. That's starting to become a thing. We're getting more and more players that are joining in that debauchery.
We've even done a couple of games out of our normal hours, too.
Special event games. It's been so much fun. Now, there is one other way. Oh, yeah. If you want to join us in that chat, go to lotuseffect.chat. I know I had said it before, but I'll reiterate it. There are instructions on how to set up a instance for your. Username basically.
It's how to set up. If you want to use like an IRC client, there's like instructions on how to do that, right? Or also just links to click on to have something web that you can use, right? So it's there is some instructions on how to do all of that on lotuseffect.chat.
I can assure you that being in the chat is a massive bonus for experiencing the things you would otherwise miss. We don't always feed our trolls, so some of the fantastic comments that are said in the chat stay in the chat. Kind of like what happens in the chat stays in the chat. If you're not in the chat, well, where the fuck you at?
Yeah,
we've said it before, and we keep saying it. You know, if you know, you know. And that's part of knowing, is being in the chat and seeing what everybody is bullshitting about.
Now, another way you can participate in all of this is to call. Call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, now why the hell would you want to do that? Well, you can, of course, give us your feedback this way. And whatever you say, Google Voice will turn it into a mangled transcript, and it might become a show title. We'll see how that works. But why would you want to do that? Well, of course, you can give us feedback, but you can also weigh in on our weigh-in topic for the week, which this week it's that. And I think the way I kind of portrayed it, and I think it makes more sense this way. That place you go when you've had that kind of day.
Exactly. It doesn't actually have to be
a restaurant,
a food establishment, right? Yeah. Because one of our pedal heads actually weighed in on a non-food establishment that they go to when it's been that kind of a day and they're just experiencing no math, we've explained before. No math is I can't even nor odd.
Yeah, and pretty much means, let's be done with that. So anyway, and you can also, if you want to give us weigh-in topics, right, we'd love to hear what you're, give us suggestions, right? And so you can do that, of course. All the ways we talked about is, weigh in on a weigh-in topic, right? We've the last couple have actually been suggestions from Pedalhead. So
they have, and ultimately, another way you can, quote, send the ack back. Another reason to be in the chat is because there are show titles that get spat out by some of the trolls in the chat that never make it to the microphone until the end of the show. And if you're not listening to Studio 33 after we end the broadcast or we end the recording of the content, well, you're missing out on some of the really great, snarky, quirky show titles that they suggest. So another reason to go to lotuseffect.chat and get all up in it.
Yeah, exactly. And oh, by the way, right? And then so this is, you know, we need to go ahead, right? I think we've told them what we're about. I think y'all figured it out by now. So now,
let's just take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it.
But we're not going to take this shit.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
No.
Especially with the rising tensions, just be respectful. Don't be stupid. Yeah, so we have no tolerance for stupidity.
Exactly. And and you know what? I think with everything that's going on in the world, I think we need this now more than ever.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
And we know that you're counting on us to get it right and to tell you about the shit that they're not telling you. And the first thing we're going to tell you about is the stuff in our health segment, which is never, ever, ever.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, you don't want it to be brought to you by Pfizer, but there's bad fruits that apparently you should be eating for weight loss, according to experts.
This is a pile of shit.
Yeah, it is a pile of shit, Mama. I agree. Now, we all know the average dietitian is bought in on the standard dietary advice given to everyone, i.e. the dietary guidelines for Americans, which means they believe because it comes from fruit, the sugar in said fruit must be okay. Even though, as metabolically broken as most people are, sugar, regardless of the source, can be problematic.
Your liver works as a meritocracy.
Yes, it does work as a meritocracy. Now let's see how many of these fruits these fruitcakes claim are good for you actually are. Number one on the list, bananas. The article quotes some expert that says the sugar content varies depending upon the ripeness of the banana. No shit, Sherlock. That's true. Now, when I ate bananas, I almost always had green ones because I found the yellow ones were often too sweet for me. Now, my Grandma Hattie always told me to eat bananas for their potassium. Now, meanwhile, that supposedly low to medium glycemic index they claim for bananas lasts a long time in your system, resulting in your blood sugar being higher longer.
More sugar!
However, with a medium-sized banana containing 27 grams of carbs, how is this any good? Not to mention that carbs turn into sugar in the body. Yeah. Anyway, so now they go to mangoes. Now the experts say this is good because it's low calorie. However, a 3/4 cup of mangoes has 19 grams of sugar, only 2 of which is fiber. Now, how can they defend this?
I object, Your Honor, and I move to strike.
And although I will tell you, mangoes in a country where they grow, I'll eat those all day long. Now, pineapples are slightly worse than mangoes for their sugar content. It's worth noting that these first three fruits are in fact tropical, which means they're probably not from where you're at. Which means, if they're not local and in season, you should probably avoid them anyway. Now, number 4 on the list are apples, and they're slightly better as they have more fiber, but they still contain a lot of sugar. A medium-sized apple has 19 grams, and I'm sure a Granny Smith has less than that, but I still don't see how this is any better. In season, maybe, but no, otherwise.
No.
Oh, yeah, and then they list grapes. Grapes, I need to ring the bell on that one. A 1 cup serving of grapes has 1 gram of fiber and 16 grams of carbs.
Raisins, which I like to call nature's sugar turds.
Yeah, that Vinny's right about that. The one item on this list we can actually recommend eating is avocados. Now, granted, it's probably not local and in season where you are, but at least it won't spike your blood sugar. Now, the carbs provided here by a half of avocado is almost entirely fiber, 8.5 grams total, 6.7 grams of which are fiber per serving.
You are correct, sir. Yeah, so,
this is, like I said, it's just kind of funny how they said all this stuff. They're like, yeah, okay, they're making you eat all this fruit that's supposedly good for you, and they have to get shipped from places. How is this good for the fucking environment? I mean, oh my God, okay, at least apples.
Yeah, and don't get us started on, quote, industrial farming, of which, I'm sorry, y'all, go to the grocery store, get pretty much any piece of produce, put it up against something that you grew in your own garden or that you got from a local farmer's market. Where it was grown locally.
All right.
The taste difference, completely different. Why? Because the shit at the grocery store is industrially farmed. It has flavor.
We have an example in our own grocery store. I'm talking about the Granger County tomatoes. Now, I will tell you that in general, right, I don't like eating tomatoes. I will eat Granger County tomatoes. Which,
okay, but I want to point something out very clearly, yeah. Mr. Phoneboy.
Yeah, but those are
the tomatoes I'm talking about in comparison to Granger County. Yeah. Shout out to the folks in Granger County. We love their tomatoes.
Yeah.
And their tomato festival is held on my birthday weekend every year. We may actually have to go if they have it this year. It's a great time. But the point being, okay, yes, those are local. Those are from our, like, less than an hour I can be in Granger County if I'm in K-Town.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my point being, the shit that's coming out of the hot houses in Mexico and places like that, zero flavor, not even a little bit. That's the comparison. That's why when you're saying, oh, these Granger County tomatoes, because they're literally being grown naturally here.
Yeah, that's exactly what, I'm agreeing with you. That's why, I was going to say, why I think I like them is because... Yeah, like commercial tomatoes have no taste. These things, I go, I actually like the taste of this.
And yes, again, it's because it actually has flavor. It's not just a useless vegetable. Actually, technically, tomatoes are fruits, interestingly, but I still consider it a vegetable. Fight me.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that I consider is this story we found about how orgasms aren't the sole key to women's sexual satisfaction, according to a study.
Yes! Yes! Oh! Yes! 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 Oh! 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 Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, that's the after party, y'all.
Hey-o! Well, a new study on women's sexual experiences has challenged the commonly held belief that reaching orgasm during sex is the single essential indicator of a successful sexual encounter or a satisfying sexual relationship.
Oh, you just go away, Baton!
So the research, published in the International Journal of Sexual Health, found that while women's orgasms are connected to their sexual relationship satisfaction, reaching orgasm every single time isn't necessarily.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
The study surveyed women in New Zealand, basically, and found a fascinating pattern. Sexual relationship satisfaction is positively correlated with how consistently a woman's orgasms, or how consistently a woman orgasms, but only up to a certain point. Women who orgasmed often reported high satisfaction, but those who orgasmed almost always or always didn't necessarily report an even higher satisfaction. See, I'm going to offer an opinion in so much as they're focusing more on the orgasm and not so much on if you're happy with your partner, even if you don't orgasm, you're still going to be just as satisfied. Just an opinion. Now, the finding, of course, goes against the popular idea, often seen in media and porn, that the orgasm is the main goal of sex and necessary every time for a satisfying sex life, a concept sometimes called the orgasm imperative.
And I can't live without it!
Some people can't live without that orgasm. They don't feel fulfilled unless they've had it. And importantly, the study also found that non-orgasmic factors played a significant role in women's sexual relationship satisfaction. How often couples had sex, how important the sex was to the woman, and even her age were strong predictors of satisfaction. Now, I find that extremely fucking misogynistic, and I'm going to tell you why. How important the sex was to the woman? What about the importance of the sex to the man? I'm just going to be honest. I understand men, for the most part, are pretty... You know, near.
I think the word you're looking for is near, most men don't give a fuck whether you get there or not. They just want to get there.
No, most guys don't give a shit. Is my dick getting sucked? Am I getting my nut? Period. Dot. That's what men care about. The only problem is, see, we women, we have a beautiful advantage. We can come and come and come until the cows come home. You guys only get maybe a couple of shots and then. Okay, so yeah, you all should give a fuck how satisfied we are because we're going to work harder to make sure you're satisfied if you're making sure we're getting ours. Now, I want to also highlight the fact that when these factors were considered alongside orgasm consistency, the non-orgasmic elements added significant power to explaining the woman's satisfaction level. Now, this suggests that sex offers benefits beyond just the physical experience of orgasm. Duh. They include affection, sensuality, and intimacy, and those are all highly valued.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's all that men just heard when I included all of that about the affection, the sensuality, and the intimacy. All they heard was blah, blah, blah. Am I getting my dick wet? And I know it. But these findings align with similar studies conducted in other Western populations, suggesting these insights are likely applicable beyond just the New Zealand area. Well, obviously. So for sex and relationship therapists, the research suggests that focusing on interventions that increase the frequency of sex and or improve the orgasm consistency rather than aiming for 100% every time. Now, that might be more beneficial for helping women improve their sexual relationship satisfaction. However, the authors of the study did highlight that this requires further research.
But they don't know shit about fuck, clearly.
Ultimately, removing the pleasure and goal-oriented mindset around orgasm may enhance both sexual pleasure and overall satisfaction. I totally don't disagree with that. But again, when you look at the foundation of it, if you are happy with your partner, if you have a good relationship with your partner outside of the bedroom, that is going to positively transfer inside.
I think we can say that from personal experience.
We have an amazing relationship outside of the after party, but the after party is on another level.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, I think it's, yeah, that, I mean, I think I like to make the joke that I have the kind of sex life that people lie about having. And that's as much as I'll say about that. However, I do have something to say about the gluten migraine headache connection.
I've got a headache this big and it's screaming for Excedrin.
Yeah, I was looking for Excedrin a few days ago because we had a dietary indiscretion that involved bread. A half a loaf between the two of us. And to make it worse, it was cheap Walmart white bread. The worst of the worst. Oh, my God.
You know, everybody right now is absolutely clutching their pearls aghast that you consumed not only bread, but Walmart white bread. Blech.
I don't usually eat bread at all. And when I do, it's usually not that much of that kind of that crap bread. It was it's definitely not cheap ass bread from Walmart.
What have you done?
Well, I think the other clip you could have played there is that's how you know you fucked up, because a day or two later
I got
a migraine, and the following day the day that followed that I also had a headache, which thankfully didn't turn into a migraine, which is usually when I start vomiting. And it occurred to me that the fact that I ate like a trash panda before and these migraines probably had something to do with each other.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
So I did a quick search into Kagi, which I now pay for. It's a paid search engine. It led me to an article on celiac MD, right, which suggests gluten might, in fact, be a trigger for migraines. Now, and when I started looking through my own history, I kind of got to that same fact that this probably there's probably a connection in my own life. And when I started putting it all together, I went, yeah, this is probably what's going on. And so research shows that with people with gluten intolerance or celiac disease are more than twice as likely to experience migraines compared to the general population. And in fact, one study found that 25% of those with gluten intolerance reported migraines. And for many with celiac disease, migraines were one of the earliest clues that they had it. Let's take a closer look at the connection.
Let's look at this more deeply now.
Now, it's worth noting that celiac disease can present without stomach or GI symptoms, and a headache may be the only symptom. Migraines can come on suddenly or develop gradually, affecting one or both sides of the head. Now, some people experience an aura before a migraine strikes, and this includes flashing lights, strange smells, numbness, weakness, slurred speech, or vision changes.
You're not you when you're hungry.
Now, the duration of a migraine varies, lasting from a few hours to several days, and in some cases, even longer. Now, along with intense head pain, common symptoms include nausea, which is what I vomiting, flu-like feelings, and extreme sensitivity to light and sound. Yeah, I've had a lot of that. The severity also differs from person to person, and some can push through their day, while others are completely incapacitated for days at a time.
Well, that's about enough light for me for one day.
Now, gluten headaches are more common in people with celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. Now, gluten headaches can occur that are not migraines. These headaches often feel like dull, diffuse, persistent tension headaches rather than the throbbing, one-sided pain of migraines. Yes, that's kind of how the second day headache was. And recent research papers suggested that recurrent headaches, even if not migraines, should prompt an evaluation for celiac disease, especially if no other cause is found.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
Now, certain vitamin and mineral deficiencies may contribute to gluten headaches and migraines, such as iron.
I'm Hans.
I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
Now, low iron levels are common in people with celiac disease and have been linked to headaches. Now, of course, vitamin D. Now, studies suggest a connection between low vitamin D levels and migraines, though high levels have also been implicated. Research on this is ongoing. Now, of course, we also have zinc.
From A to zinc.
And a zinc deficiency can lead to elevated copper levels, which may trigger migraines. And B12, right? Make sure you get your B vitamins. And it's B12, one of those things you can't get from plants, folks. It's essential for red blood cell production and nervous system health. It's often low in celiac patients and may contribute to headaches, probably because they're not eating enough meat. Magnesium. Some migraine sufferers have low magnesium levels, and while not everyone benefits, supplementation has provided relief for some. And I actually take magnesium every night along with ultra salt and potassium to ensure my electrolytes are in check, which is something I personally noticed can trigger my migraines. And so, you know, in the end, I think this is, when going through this experience, I think what this kind of proved to both of us, I think, is that, yeah, what I was trying to do with not eating sugars and grains, that was probably the right thing to be doing. And now, because I fucked up.
Even more evident.
Yeah, it's become even more evident that it is in fact the right thing to do. And knowing that I am going to be getting that if I eat this shit in too much of a quantity, migraines are a thing. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it. And so unfortunately, that means I'm not having any more beer, not having some things I like. But it's all these things that unfortunately have gluten in them. Yeah. And especially like, because it also seems to have an impact on the severity of my allergy symptoms, which, as you know, it's like a lot of what I've been doing this last several months is to try to get a handle on that, because I pretty much have been consistently suffering with allergies since like last year. I mean, even in the winter, you know, I was having issues, right?
And at the end of the day, the takeaway is the juice is not worth the squeeze. Yes, we love Zool, but not enough to go through those migraines and the allergy symptoms and anything else. And we're actually going to talk about that during the Toast and Jam, the changes that are being made as a result of that. But this next story is about something you're damn sure not going to be consuming, which is Coca-Cola, because apparently it actually cures an uncomfortable health problem. So let's face it, you shouldn't be drinking this stuff normally, whether it's the stuff sweetened with high fructose corn syrup or aspartame or whatever sweeteners they use in Coke Zero. However, there's a time where maybe a few sips of it might not be a bad thing. If you're having trouble with nausea, a few sips can help because the soda contains substances that calm the stomach, and some doctors allegedly, unofficially, prescribe it for the stomach flu.
Blech. Yeah. Yeah, well, when I was putting this together in the script, I had remembered the thought that, yeah, my Grandma Hattie used to actually have me when my stomach was upset, she'd actually take out a Coke and leave it get flat, and you'd have a few sips of it, and that's, you know.
I have actually experienced and done the same thing. Now, believe it or not, Coke's a popular household cleaning and maintenance product as well. And by now, we've all heard about many strange uses of the drink, such as cleaning toilet bowls, loosening rust, and removing stains. Now, it's also used in some cooking and gardening applications. There's actually a Cracker Barrel has a Coca-Cola fudge cake that's actually made with Coke, and yeah, it's super fucking rich.
The ex made found some recipe for something like that, and yeah, that I will say, yeah, it's the hottest and freshest garbage.
Yeah, I actually have the recipe for the Cracker Barrel Coca-Cola fudge cake in my recipe container. But what you may not know about Coca-Cola is that it can help with gastric phytobasos. I know I said that wrong, but I don't give a fuck. It's the silliest looking word, phytobezoars or whatever. So a bezoar is a foreign body in the gastrointestinal tract, commonly found as a hard mass in the stomach. A phytobezoar consists of plant material such as cellulose that can't be digested.
Ah, he's full of shit!
Can't digest it, you're obviously going to get backed up. Now, these masses can cause nausea, vomiting, and a lack of appetite. Thankfully, a proven phytobezoar treatment is none other than Coca-Cola. And one systemic study reviewed 24 papers on the matter, published from 2002 to 2012, and discovered that in 91.3% of the cases, phytobezoar's resolution with Coca-Cola administration was successful, either as a single treatment in 50% or combined with further endoscopic techniques. Yeah, further endoscopic techniques, a.k.a. they physically went up in there and started scraping your crap out.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, so you know, remember I had said that I had found a story about the appendix and what it...
And
I think we might cover it, we might cover it because I have a story that actually tells you what the appendix is for. And it turns out it's for helping to digest, plant material.
Interesting.
Yeah, but we used to have to do it a lot more, and so that we don't have to do it as much now because we've now our modern food environment, we don't have to.
A lot more carnivorous.
Yeah, a lot more carnivorous and a lot less of that stuff, and so yeah.
There truly is foods that the human body should not consume. Corn being one of them, not just because of the massive starch content and sugar content, but also because literally your body cannot digest this food. There's a reason when it goes in whole, it comes out whole, folks.
That's right. Well, you know what? And that, like I said, I think we've gone through the health segment, and I'm happy. I don't know about you.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. That's right. And then yeah, that could actually also we could also use that for the happiness segment.
We could.
You know, there's all kinds of things, although I don't remember what we use for the happiness segment on this. Anyway, there is an Arizona teen who returns a lost wallet containing $300 and gets that electric bike he's been saving for. Now, last month in Arizona, a young man profited unexpectedly from choosing honesty over greed after finding a lost wallet. 14-year-old Cody Chalmers found a wallet while riding his bike in Chandler on May 2nd, finding $300 cash and credit cards inside. But even though he was in the middle of saving money for an electric dirt bike with a hefty price tag, young Chalmers didn't waste any time considering his good fortune. Sending his mother a photo of the ID contained in the wallet, she was able to run some basic internet searches until she found a phone number. Speaking with the AZ family, Chalmers said that he was happy he did the right thing.
You've got karma.
I thought that someone would feel really bad if they'd lost it, so I was like, I'd better return this, he said, adding that he remembered immediately how his father reacted years ago when he lost his wallet. It kind of taught me how bad it is to like take somebody's money because their wallet is basically their life. And impressed with the son's honesty, Carrie Stretcher made a boast post on a local Chandler Facebook page, remarking how Cody joked that he was a good Samaritan now, huh, Mom? Yes. Now, seeing the story of the lost wallet, another good Samaritan decided that $3,500 of his own money was less important than rewarding Cody's honesty and asked his mom to send him a link to the electric bike. He intended to buy it for Cody as a gift.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
Now there are a few fewer cooler cats than Cody along the hot streets of Chandler as he rides around on his black e-bike, which was sold by a company called, if it can be believed, Integrity E-Bikes.
Wow.
Okay, well, you know. Well, it's good for him.
That is actually kind of ironic, the name of the bike company. But you know what? It also reflects good parenting. Teaching your kids right from wrong. It's a very simple concept. It's morals. I'm not going to get all religious on it. But the point of the matter is just teaching your kids to be good people and not do shitty things like stealing, or if you find a wallet being like, oh, you know, money, I mean, good on this kid and his parents for raising him right, especially mom. We don't know about dad, but we know mom at least did something right, so good on him. Now, good on this Texas mail carrier who rushed to be first in line to adopt a surrendered dog from his former mail route.
Lucky dog, lucky dog, I'm a lucky dog.
Ian Burke drops off important packages as part of his job. However, recently he got to take home something special himself, a beloved dog he met on an old mail route. The mail carrier in Destin, Texas, is now the proud owner of Floyd, a dog that he met 3 years ago while delivering mail to his owner, a Vietnam veteran.
It's a beach party, Vietnam, surfing with the Viet Cong, cooking hot dogs with napalm. A beach party, Vietnam.
Speaking to the local ABC affiliate, WFAA, Burke recalled meeting the 70-pound dog the first time he dropped off mail at Floyd's home. He got out the door and he charged at me, right like a little puppy, Burke shared. Burke delivered mail to the dog and his owner weekly for about a year and a half before his route changed. The mail carrier who took over Burke's former route recently told him that Floyd's owner had died, leaving Floyd nowhere to go. Burke learned the dog had been taken to the city of Denton's animal shelter and knew he needed to give the pooch a new forever home. On Tuesday, June 3rd, Burke arrived at the shelter minutes before it opened to be first in line to meet the adoptable pets. From there, he successfully adopted Floyd. I'm taking this guy home with me. I don't take it lightly. This isn't some random dog I'm adopting.
Now, puppy, I'm so glad to find you. Put that lonely puppy down behind you.
He noted that Floyd's late owner had loved and cherished the dog, and Burke plans to do the same. I can't do this.
I kind of felt responsible to take care of him, and I think he'd be pleased to know that his former mailman is taking good care of his dog, he told KVUE. When speaking to WFAA, Burke said the experience was probably one of the best things the Postal Service inadvertently issued me. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is, yeah, we like to try to find these stories, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes we get a little verklempt when we're reading these stories, because it is, you know, we like to bring, you know, because honestly, like, with everything that's going on in the world today, you just think that the world is just complete shit. You know what? We like to shine a light on the fact that, you know what, there's still good things going on out in the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And you know
and,
what? You know
and
what?
And finally, it's not a dog that attacked the mailman.
Exactly. All right. Meanwhile, it is time for the Cavalcade of Stupidity with our friend Rev Cybertracker.
Hi-de-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. Damian Alexander Hess is an American rapper and web designer, better known by his stage name, MC Frontalot. Widely credited as a pioneer of the nerdcore hip-hop genre, he has been given the nickname the Nerdfather. Hess began releasing music as MC Frontalot in 1999, where he gained early recognition through Songfight, an online songwriting and recording competition, where he consistently outperformed competitors. In 2002, the popular webcomic Penny Arcade named Frontalot their rapper laureate, significantly boosting his popularity, which led to regular performances at the Penny Arcade Expo, known as PAX. Hess has also had songs featured in two different video games, Rockstar Games' In the Groove and Rock Band, and in 2006, starred as TP Factory Rapper in the Sesame Street direct-to-video movie Elmo's Potty Time. And I'm pretty sure all of you old-school gamers will know what a text-based adventure is. So, from the 2007 album Secrets of the Future, this is MC Frontalot. It is pitch dark.
You are like me to be eaten.
You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture a match in your inventory. It got narrated at you in the second person. Every time you put it up, it seems you got another version of your life told to you by a status line blinking. The impossible people you could be without thinking. Yourself insane of personality problems. With a mop on a dropship or trying to stab a goblin that don't play. In public life, you get arrested. Psychoactive medication daily in your big intestine. And the testing that the voices in your head said the dwarf shot first, embedded arrow, then you bled for doctors with needles.
All right, anyway, we'll listen to the whole one in Studio 33. That's how we do that.
How we usually do it, especially now that we're on Spotify. We have to keep things to a certain thing so the bots don't lose their shit.
That's right. Well, I think we didn't, actually, speaking of lost shit, let's talk about Tales from Rideshare.
Yeah, we probably should. There were actually not a lot of people who took that ride that were memorable.
Yeah, but you understand why I made the comment about lost items, right?
I did, because I actually, I thought I had heard something rattling around in my trunk at the end of last week, and then I forgot about it. But when I start my week, I usually, because I vacuum my car every day, but I'll usually Febreze the car after it's been sitting for the weekend. And when I opened my trunk, surprise, motherfucker, I had a skateboard in my trunk that I had a rider that left. It's a kind of gnarly set of wheels, not gonna lie. Looks like it's seen some shit.
Yeah, and I think we made the comment that, like, yeah, because my
homeboy was like, maybe I'll learn to skateboard. I'm like, right.
Well, no, there was another comment that somebody had made that it looked like him from California. I said, well, that'll complete the look.
You know? Oh, yeah. I totally encouraged him to take a photograph with the skateboard to complete the look, and a pair of his shorts with, like, his Aptos
yeah, exactly.
Zero shoes and shit.
Yeah.
That would just be... And your RHCP shirt. You got to wear your RHCP shirt to complete that complete skater look.
Yes, exactly.
And it'd be phenomenal.
Yes, I think we might have to stage this. We'll talk about this in the after.
We'll talk about it in the after party.
Yeah, because we still have to deal with this skateboard now that we have.
Hey, you know what?
I'll take it to Goodwill or something, probably.
You fucking won't either.
Well, okay. Well,
we'll discuss it later. My point being, if I'm contacted about it, then it will get returned. I don't keep people's shit arbitrarily and pretend I don't have it.
Yeah.
But if you don't get... You know, if you don't file a missing item report or a, hey, I'm an idiot, I left something in a vehicle report, your shit becomes the property of rideshare driver.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah, I inadvertently have a skateboard, and
what wasn't inadvertent?
Well, maybe I'll just buy a helmet and some pads, and I'll learn how to skateboard my damn self. I can picture me fucking around outside in the parking lot.
Yeah, can you imagine what the HOA would think about that?
Fuck the HOA. I give a shit about them. Here's the thing, though. This really cracked me up. There was one very specific ride that stood out and immediately got put in the show script. I've had numerous conversations with a certain pedal head from a certain blue state who insists that there was absolutely no voter fraud going on during the election in which 47 should have been 46. We've talked about it.
It would have still been 45.
Well, no, because he still it count.
No, it doesn't count. They don't change the number because he's still president from the previous time, so he's still the 45.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. All right, I don't know why I fucking thought they changed the number, but irrelevant to the fact, there's been a lot of conversation between this pedalhead and I over the fact, oh, there was absolutely no voter fraud anywhere in that. Da 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 da. Well, y'all, I finally met a person who had some boots on the ground on that because their dead father was used in the voting in Michigan. So now we have a beautiful example that I can use to express my love and affection to that particular pedal head the next time they say that there's no proof of any voter fraud. I can call bullshit and actually have a peg leg to stand on. So that's pretty much the only ride that I had that stood out this week was the guy who told me about that. It was very interesting. Not that I didn't have a lot of rides because I worked quite hard this week. But at the end of the day, that was really the only one that stood out to me. But there's plenty of stuff to talk about, so we should probably do a little toasting and jamming.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
Yeah, and if you have not called 253-237-3321 to weigh in on what your go-to when it's been that kind of a day is, where do you go? Is it a food establishment? Is it you know, a place that's calm and special to you, call 253-237-3321 and tell us about it. And I know y'all are just dying to know what I'm cooking this evening.
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's.
And it's actually something out of Anna Faccina's cookbook this time.
It is. It's out of the. Okay, so I want to point out the irony that it is actually out of Eat Happy 2, which is the graphic I use for the making actual food that's cooked clip. There is a great amount of serendipity in that.
Yes, there is. And it's also a great picture of Anna, too. But
it is a phenomenal picture of Anna. But that being said, I am making what's known as Monterey casserole. It's kind of it is a Mexican-inspired dish, obviously, with some peppers, onions, jalapenos, ground beef, cheese. There's a lot of stuff going in this thing. It is going to be unbelievably delicious. I'm sure it's just going to be...
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be good. We're sourcing the ingredients for it and everything, and that's
Well, due to the fact that you have discovered, you suspect you have a massive gluten allergy. Yeah. We've had to completely reformat what we're doing on our diet. Zero cheat allowed. So that forced me to get into the really good cookbooks from Anna Faccino, of which we have three. We love them very much.
Yeah, we got all three of them. Yeah, Eat Happy 2, and Eat Happy Italian.
That's right, and some of the recipes overlap.
Yeah,
but I went through and picked out the things that I thought we would enjoy eating, and put them on a menu list. So now we have a whole list of options, and it gives us an opportunity. I say causes, but I will change the phrasing on that. To the fact it gives us, not causes us, to be able to work together in the kitchen, being more present, being a lot more connected to the food we're preparing also.
Yeah, this is something I think, you know, we one of the complaints we have about the current Shea Lotus is that it has a pretty small kitchen, right? However,
Ella.
you and I do a pretty good job most of the time of actually working together in the kitchen and not getting in each other's way. And, you know, and flowing between, you know, kind of like sometimes you're doing something, then all of a sudden then I'm doing it and vice versa, right? We kind of... We're able to just kind of like move around and handle things, right? And
yeah, it's very fluid.
It's very fluid, and you know, and so, what I wanted to say about the, you know, sort of the diet thing is that the reason I was able to think that that gluten had something to do with it is I went back in my history as of when I started getting migraines, and it was like 10 years ago, and I can tell you at that point in my life, I probably was eating a lot of bread and consuming a lot of things with gluten in it. If you look at the pictures of me from that time period, I was certain that's probably around the time I was I weighed the most. So I was having issues with all kinds of things at that point. And so
when you think about the three ingredients that are the worst, they hit all of the boxes. Bread hits all three of those boxes: a grain, mm-hmm. a seed oil, and sugar. Three things that I guarantee you are included in any bread that is made as a culinary professional.
Yeah. Anyway, the point being is that and then in 2017, right? And so when I started cleaning up my diet, yeah, I stopped getting the migraines. Now. And so I thought, and I only started getting them again a couple of years ago when my diet was maybe I had allowed a few more things in.
You were being a lot less virtuous.
I was being a lot less virtuous, and then when I finally, you know, I basically went all out and ate something really terrible, right? That I knew rational, you know, stoned me thought it was a good idea. Rational me goes, what the fuck were you thinking?
And here's the thing. There's been several times when we have on our show talked about we're going to clean things up. We're going to get back on the wagon. Da, da, da. This was literally the universe getting tired of hearing our bullshit, calling us out on it and saying no more options.
Yeah. And it was really amazing. Like once I sort of put all of this together in my head, just kind of like how at peace I was with the whole thing. I'm like, yeah. I know that this is what I need to be doing now. No more fucking excuses. I now have something, and I will admit, right? It's when we talk about you want to be healthier, right? That's kind of a squishy goal, right? Not getting debilitating migraines that cause you to throw up. And yeah,
you narrowed the focus a lot.
Yeah, I said, yeah, I don't want those. Those suck. Having a headache that lasts for 2 days is not something I ever want to experience again. Right?
Also not worth the culinary discretion.
It was not worth it, right?
Indiscretion.
Yeah, the culinary indiscretion. So with all of that, I went, yeah, okay. So, and then...
I want to just add one element to that, if I may. The fact that it, by deciding that we need to be more virtuous and not, we're just not going to have that shit in the house, we're just not going to eat that shit because of what it does to you and such, and how bad, arguably, it is for our bodies. The other thing that it's doing, for me anyway, mm-hmm. because everyone who knows me knows I absolutely love to be in my kitchen. It is my happy place. I am the most at peace and happiest when I am whirling around the kitchen creating delicious food. This gives me an opportunity. It kind of forces me back into a way to cope outside of maybe the way I have been coping with things. It also gives me a purpose. I've been very staunch about the fact I want to structure my life more and be more organized for success. This is another way where a couple of times a week, it's going to put me kind of in that box of I have to be home at this time because I am making this and there is no, oh, let's just, you know, call Domino's or, you know, go to Romo's, even though we love Romo's, you know, or Beef and Barrel. You know, the point is No, this food is not what we should be eating, as delicious as it is.
No, and it's not good for us,
and it's causing problems.
Yeah, and it's also probably, I will also say, it's likely all contributing to the severity of my allergies too, right? Because which, as we know, yeah, that's led to part of a much larger discussion I've had about my allergies in general. Like, something good has come from my allergies. Since I moved to Tennessee, I've been fucking miserable with my allergies. Let's not pretend anything, but it got worse when my diet got worse, my overall diet. As I'd expect. And so now, again, I'm starting, you know, so I got to live a couple of years of that, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this now. And considering that I've reached this point where, I'm spending $1,000 on vacuum cleaners because I want my place to be clean, right?
Well, speaking of spending, I'm
not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there.
I'm sure you don't even know where I was going, but that's okay.
Yeah, but like I said, but you know, the reason I'm doing more cleaning, I'm looking at everything that I'm doing, and I'm going, yeah, you know what? As with my allergies being as bad as it was, it actually allowed me to diagnose the fact that these things are literally, I mean, when you put a fucking pretzel in your mouth and you chew it, you can literally feel yourself just inflaming as a result of doing that. Yeah, that's a pretty clear indication that food is inflammatory, even if it's just a little bit, right? When you're already inflamed, all of that shit adds up, right? So it allowed me to diagnose all of this stuff, the fact that, yeah, this thing causes me a problem. And since I kind of like living in Tennessee, right, I don't want to go back to the Pacific Northwest or anywhere else where, anyway, I didn't know. So I got to figure, you know, I don't know what exactly has got me all fucked up here, but I do know that if I eliminate all of these other things, I might have a fighting chance of actually, like, being able to, like, not be sneezing my head off all the time and not be feeling like I'm miserable all the time. But one thing I can definitely do is make good decisions about what I consume, right?
Yeah, and what I was actually going to say, which I knew you didn't know, was we finally had a chance to re-up our chicken supply from our Casey Farms folks.
Yes, I did. Actually, it was funny because I messaged John, who's he's our chicken guy, and I hadn't seen him in a good long while, and there's been some politics with the local farmers market. So given when it is on, when it shows up, we don't get up that early on a Saturday morning, and anyway, but where they come into town on like Wednesdays, it's kind of an interesting place. I'll just leave it at that. And so anyway, I happen to have, and then also my Wednesdays, just because of the timing and everything, it's not that I can't see them or go out to where they live, which I've done on a couple of occasions, It's just because it's like, I don't know, what, for whatever reason, we just hadn't, I hadn't connected up with them. And so finally on Wednesday, they were in town. I was not busy for a change. And so I was able to actually go to, and I was able to combine it with, you know, my usual trip into town, which I make once a week. And we finally reloaded. And the guy is like, hey, nice to see you. You know, this is one of the nice things about living in a place like this is that the people you deal with on a regular basis, you get to know them. And so we had this.
It's the beauty of living in a quote quaint southern town. Yeah. I also want to quickly remind you, if you have not yet done so, to call 253-237-3321 and tell us about that special spot when you've had that kind of day. What's your go-to on that?
That's what's our go-to. So yeah, we've actually, so I mean, the bottom line is we've now restocked, and yeah, and it's kind of, again, talking with them about kind of the, you know, the, again, the sort of the state of things. It's I think even the, you know, his wife, Jamie, which is actually, she wasn't there, or because she wasn't sitting out. I said, so where's Jamie? And he's like, yeah, and she's on a Zoom call right now, right in the truck. Like, okay, you know, because she's doing, you know, I don't know, whatever day job she has above and beyond the farm and the kids and everything. Yeah, she's doing that. So good for her. She just wanted to get out of the house, and I don't blame her. Anyway.
But being cooped up sucks. Yeah. But like you were talking about your vacuum.
Yeah, the vacuum. Yeah. So I make a joke that I bought two of these Dyson vacuums. One we got is kind of an Amazon special or whatever. And then I get it, and I'm going, this doesn't quite do enough, and I want something with more power, bigger battery and all that kind of thing. And I bought
the battery just doesn't last long enough when you're trying to vacuum two floors.
Yeah, or three or whatever. Yeah, it's good for the car. It's good for vacuuming downstairs. That's probably about it, though. But yeah, then they got the new one that I bought at Costco is a thing. But as part of the sort of the allergy sort of mitigation strategy, yeah, there's a reason that I'm kind of looking around in the bedroom, and I'm seeing dust in places that I've been struggling, and there are things like around the headboard and the we've got these lampshades that are just fabric, and good luck getting anything on
horrible.
Yeah, so I said, I'll be right back. And what did I do?
They're not ours, though. They came with the place.
Yeah, they came with the place. So this is the joy of a furnished place. So anyway, I go down. I said, honey, I'll be right back. And so I go get our white privilege duster, as I call it, right? And I started vacuuming the lampshades and some of the stuff around there. And I'm like, wow, this stuff's actually getting clean. We have it. There's also like a framed picture.
He is like a kid with a new toy on Christmas morning with these vacuums. Every time I turn around, he is using one. It's unreal.
Yes, but what I'm doing, though, this is, so I mean, again, we can talk about the fact that yes, I'm doing something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Actually, like clean up around here, like actually get things clean, because those are places that
you make it sound like our house is
it's not
a pig pen or something.
No, it's not. It's the dust that's accumulated everywhere, because I've never seen a place. I've never seen a place have as much dust as in this place. You know those fucking HEPA filters that we have in our fucking furnaces? Yeah, those things are disgusting after a month, folks.
First of all, we have a cat. Second of all, have you seen the construction of this place? There's more sheetrock in this bitch than Lowe's.
Yes, I know. But the point is that, yeah, there's a lot of... there's a lot of dust just in and around this place, and as somebody who's constantly sneezing, constantly, what, you know, all I have to do is get a whiff of something, and the next thing I know, I'm sneezing for 5 minutes, right? So anything I can do to sort of
and I can assure you, I'm trying to get a decibel count. When this man sneezes, my eardrums explode. I want to know exactly how many decibels he's putting out with these sneezes, because it is probably louder than the crowd at the stadium for the football game we went to. No lie.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Certainly, it's a lot closer because it's anyway. But the point being that yes, so because there's things about this place I haven't been able to clean effectively because I didn't really have a good way to clean it. You know, for example, the vents and the bathrooms and some other things, and I'm just taking the vacuum and I'm going, oh shit, I'm getting all this stuff, right? And it's doing a great job. And so this is
vacuumed the dryer vent too.
I did. Yes, I did. It's amazing. But my point is with this is that I think it is it's a great but I'm doing it actually as like I said, I'm geeking out over this, but at the same time I'm finally cleaning stuff that I haven't been able to clean properly. And now, you know, so that and that's help I feel like that's helping with the overall effort to try and sort of make my allergies not suck as bad, right? I don't think because I think the main problem is the fact that there's just shit around this place. I mean, where there's literally trees growing outside of our the bedroom window, and there's really not a lot I can do about that because, you know, because we're in a condo. But and hopefully when I when we decide to get our place and you know I can actually do more to affect the around the bedroom and stuff. So I don't have trees, you know, outside my window that are going to cause me to fucking lose my mind, right? Yeah, we can't do that. So so I'm doing everything that I can, and that's one of the reasons I'm so I've spent so much time with them. Trying to, I've got all these vacuums and I'm finally able to clean stuff that I've been wanting to clean. And yeah, they've been doing a good job. So, but anyway, yeah. So now, yeah, I guess, yeah, using my Dyson to dust some of the stuff in our bedroom. There you go. All right. Now,
that's hella white privilege.
Now, okay. So we were, all right. So the last thing I've got, unless you've got something else for the toast and jam.
I don't.
Yeah. So, I'm scrolling through so I have two phones, right? And actually, that's because I have my work phone, which also my ex and her crotch goblins know that number, and then I have a number that I got when I moved here that's completely separate. The phones are separate. I only have work apps on the work phone and personal thing anyway. So I have maintained that sort of church and state separation. However, now they both are attached to the same iCloud account, and I think because of the different, some of the work apps, some of the pictures that get sent in some of the group chats end up in my personal iCloud, which is kind of interesting. What I saw, and I know where it came from. So my day job, we were presenting at some sort of conference somewhere, and it was weird because it was a picture of Snoop Dogg performing at this conference. It's a tech conference. It's actually, I think, something related to managed service providers in cybersecurity or something. I think that's what it is. So I'm just kind of like, I kind of did the RCA Dogg thing. I'm going, honey, we just had Snoop Dogg performing at something that would be considered a business function. I mean, now look, I know Snoop Dogg does business. I mean, he's got his own line of shit, right? I'm sure the dude knows how to be business appropriate, even though we all know what he does, right? But anyway, I think this is actually,
that's still business.
It's still business, right? But the point is it's just one of those things I kind of went, what the fuck? Now, I realized that I realized who put on this event. We were just presenting at this event as a day job. So it was, we weren't the ones who picked a Snoop Dogg, but I just thought it was interesting to see Snoop Dogg, you know, doing that in that sort of context. But of course, it's also weird seeing him on TV advertising for T-Mobile, but that's a different thing anyway. So, all right. I don't know that there's anything else to talk about in our Toast and Jam segment. I think we've...
No, we probably should wake people up because, you know...
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. And to remind you, the question is, what's your go-to place when you've had that kind of day? And it could be a restaurant. It could be something else, right? We have so here's what we have. You can also text 253-237-3321, and we got some texts. We also get from back channels. We have Tigger. She said, "On the roof of my house, looking at the woods and listening to nature. If I can't get near any body of water
or an airport to watch the planes coming."
Well, there you go, and those are great things, Tigger. I agree with that. I love that. That's honestly, like, kind of that's one of the reasons as annoying as it is to live around here, actually going and finding some place that's nature is not that far away, right? So that's something I kind of like.
Exactly.
Right. And then Mama T says, "I take my grand dog and my outdoor cat and go out in the field as far as I can go. Watching them play makes the day disappear." Yeah, Mama's got some property out there, and yeah, it's they got a lot of place to play, you know, if you're really honest.
Yep.
And then your oldest weighed in, and he said, "Mine is my room with a good smoke and music vibe, with a drink in one hand and a blunt in the other." Okay. Yeah. Hey, we all have our ways to our places to go here, you know.
Hey, sometimes you have to bloom where you're planted, man.
That's right. So Now, I think that was it of our text calls. And of course, if you can do that, if you're voice shy, let's see if we had another one here. I just want to make sure. Yeah, that was exactly what it was. All right, so now we're going to go back over here and we're going to play the voicemails that got left on 253-237-3321, presumably for this topic.
Hada hada ho, phone boy, Phoenix. It's a Saturday. Yeah, been a busy last week or so because one of those works from Saturday, so Sunday, and then like all day. And then, yeah, so, well, my 7 days in a row kind of deal, so it's always good. Actually, I guess more than that, because I worked last week, too, so anyway, but yeah. Last week's question, alcohol beverage, I mean adult beverage, coffee, in the morning, you know, but obviously, assuming it's alcohol, we're going to go with... I forget the name of it, like Blanco or Fresco or something. There's something on Trader Joe's and they have all these different flavors. It's kind of like a morning wine kind of thing, I guess, if you will. They have all these different flavors. There's mango, peach, stuff like that. Maybe even an apricot, but we've tried them all. And the peach one, that's the one that the wife and I like the best. So that's usually like if we're doing sometimes at home, if it's like a date day or something, we'll have that in the morning. But usually if it's like Airbnb / hotel and we go away for the weekend, we'll get one of those. It's meant to look, because I don't have the name of it in front of me. It kind of looks like it's a cork, like you pop it off. It's just a screw-off thing. It's only a few bucks sort of thing. So we usually just have, like, a glass each morning for, like, 2 days. So gravy. What was the other question? Something. Where do you go? Oh, for day? Where do you go when it's just, like, that big, that kind of day? Go home, man. No. Like, everybody's got their own thing, but for me, it's just kind of, just go home, you know? Like, most of the time, I'm like, I don't really do extra runs right now, just because of, I haven't for a while, just because of time and whatnot, and there's other stuff I should be doing. But, you know, sometimes, yeah, a run's nice. But I think the consistency in between just, like, reading stuff in the morning, reading stuff throughout the day, like, listen to positive stuff, whatnot, like, read the Bible in the morning every day. So it's just kind of one of those, I don't know, it's been a day, and it is, you know, sort of thing. So I don't know. Sometimes I'll have a drink, and then it's like, oh, well, that's not the best thing to go to, because it's not, you know. It just maybe, quote, take the edge off, but you go any farther than that. It's like, oh, that's not, that just kind of makes your day worse. So, you know. All right. Love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not you're going to go do a short run or you're just going to hear about it, go ahead and give a howdy, howdy. Oh.
Yeah. So Christopher Battles does actually post these pictures. He posts them on, the Massive Dong, and he also posts it on Elon Musk's, thing that he does. He does like 13 miles, and I've only done that, like,
he's amazing.
Yeah, he does that like a couple times a week. Now I've done that only 13 miles in like three times in my three times in my life, and it was right before the insurrection. And then, yeah, we talk about actually like why do you know, because one of the things we talk about doing that we're not doing is exercise, and I'm kind of like right now like I keep thinking about this, and I go, well, why did I exercise back then? Because I had nothing else, and it got me out of the damn house, and it made me feel better. So I had lots of reasons to keep doing it, right? Because I was, because literally being in my house was harming me. There's actually, you know, benefits to, you know, that runner's high that you talk about. Yeah, that does happen from time to time. It makes me feel, you know, the fact that I was eating very clean and everything. Yeah. My body was like, you know, even though I was only getting like near the end, I was only getting like 4 hours of sleep a night most nights. I was still functioning pretty well because, yeah, my body was operating very efficiently at that point. Right. But,
The interesting thing is you actually have someone who wants to go with you on these runs, and yet you're still not.
Well, we need to get to doing them. That requires both of us. So, meanwhile,
yeah, it does. That's true.
Yes. So you can't blame me for that. But
I guess I can. It doesn't mean
I don't know who to blame for this next caller though.
Hey, so you want to know where my go-to is when I've had that kind of day? It's home. I go home. I want to be at home with my wife on the couch, snuggled with a whiskey. That's where I go. I don't go anywhere special. I go home.
Yes, I think that's a fantastic
beautiful answer.
That's a beautiful answer. Let's see what the beautiful answer provided by this pedal head is.
Hi, y'all. I really don't have a designated place to go if I had that kind of day. Usually just, you know, maybe run out to the store just to walk around, get away from people. Well, not get away from people, but just be me. But, yeah, I really don't have anything or just hang out in my room. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Wook. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, a lot of people are just saying, like, in your own space, and I don't hate that.
Yeah, and yeah, sometimes it's the green room, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know. All right, let's see what this pedal head has to say.
Hi. My place to go when I've had one of those days is in my room, and I work on my diamond painting, because I can lose myself in there. And I ignore everybody. And I grab a beer on my way in. Thank you.
Thank you, Matriarch. So I guess it's you and I. Okay, so I think we've gotten through all of our thing. And by the way, if you still want to weigh in on this before the end of the show, you can. You can call or text 253-237-3321. If they come in before the end of the show, we will play them in our last call segment.
I think we last week kind of answered that question to some degree because of the fact that we talked about when it's been a cunt of a day that we go to Romo's. But on a smaller scale, I would say I think for us to answer that question is when you just need some time away from everything, when you just need to unwind, where do you go, Phone Boy? What do you do?
Where do I go? Well, sometimes so for me, right, like I'm here most of the time, right? So sometimes just getting a change of scenery is a good thing. Sometimes it's going into even just a different room in the house, or sometimes just getting outside, right? Sometimes it's going to the store, whatever it is, right? Sometimes I just need to disconnect, right? It's literally like, give me some time in my own head, right? I don't have that many days anymore where I'm like, I don't really I mean, we have some crazy shit going around here, and we tell you about it every week here on the Lotus Effect, but in the grand scheme of things, yeah, I don't have the kind of bad days I have now are very different than the bad days I used to have before. So, sometimes I need to go sit with myself in the green room and have a conversation. That's exactly what happens, right? So, sometimes it's shutting the external world out for a period of time, just so that you can actually hear. And actually, it's funny. This is an anecdote that I wasn't planning to talk about. But I had a conversation with somebody that I work with at a different company that we were having a private conversation about something, and we were and he was asking for career advice, he was asking about, you know, cybersecurity and whatnot. And I said, look, dude, like, and I asked him about his background, and I've worked with this dude for a few years now. Anyway, I said, look, I don't care what, you know, whatever you want to decide to do, just you need to be able to make sure that you really want to do it, because if you want to bring it, you want to be all you can be in that regard. Yeah, you know, you want to be all of that. Yeah, you need to be invested. You need to be in, you know, what you're doing, right? Otherwise, you're not going to do as good of a job. You're probably not going to be as successful, right? So, you know, of course, it's a hard market right now with all of this AI shit upending everything. But anyway, but yeah, where I go, yeah, it's literally just disconnect, honey. I mean, get away, and my life, I think now, because of all the changes I've made, has been pretty quiet. I don't have, you know, I don't need to disconnect that much, because
when, you know what, Sir Bemrose brings a good point. Introverted equal when I need to recharge, fuck other people. I absolutely subscribe to that. That is 100% where I'm at when I just can't anymore. You know, the thing we jokingly call no math. That is exactly what it is I will completely just shut down and spend time in my own space. That's one of the reasons I love the way my office is set up, is because I can close my door. I can actually hang a little sign, because I have little door sign hangers now that basically tell you what I'm up to and basically to fuck off. But I can, especially if it's at night, I'll just put the RGB flashing lights on my desk on, throw my music on, and just, it's my environment. It's what I want it to be.
It's important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we've sometimes when you and I are having, you know, when we're not seeing eye to eye on something, sometimes you and I need to kind of go to our separate corners just to have that, to be able to just kind of take the, get a different perspective on something. Because what, yeah, because trying, you know, us, when either one of us are at loggerheads, right? Yeah, trying to have a discussion at that point is probably not going to be very beneficial to either of us. And so, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We sometimes we go to our corners, and that's fine. And by the way, we got one more weigh in on this one. This is from Jen. Here, I'll let you read it since you're over there.
Absolutely. She said, when I've had one of those days, I head to my room, blast some angry music, and rock out till I feel better. Love y'all. Bye.
Yeah,
so thank you, Dame Jennifer. Yeah, that seems to be the very thread that everyone is sewing with, is you get in your own space. It may be in your own, you know, on your own property, in your own house, in your own room even. And it's just a place you go to unwind and have your own space and do your own thing. I think that's amazingly great. And thank you all for weighing in on that, because it was very interesting to know what other people do to cope with what a dumpster fire the world currently is and the shit show that it's, you know, portraying to be. With that,
Can we get high? Can we get high,
thinking
please?
About how shitty the world is, I need to get high.
I'll take a drink. And my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke. Reefer, you know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
That's right. We do not freebase cocaine. But that which we have actually been talking about is what this next and first story in our higher consciousness segment is about, is the fact that
yeah, exactly. This is so, you know, the people who are smoking the holy herb, you know, theoretically, right? They you know, they're lazy. They don't exercise. You know, and you could probably even make the comment about me, considering I used to do it and I don't do it as much anymore. But they're apparently five times more likely to regularly exercise than eat fast food, according a busting a stereotype myth.
Let's get physical, physical. I wanna get physical.
But marijuana consumers are more than three times likely to regularly exercise than drink alcohol. Yeah, I don't want to drink alcohol now. and unfortunately, a lot of that grain alcohol, yeah, I can't do that anymore. And they're nearly five times more likely to routinely work out than eat fast food, according to that same stereotype-defying survey.
Fool you!
Now, the poll from the cannabis telehealth platform NugMD, that's a great name, I love that.
And they
looked at the habits of cannabis users who were asked about the frequency they engage in seven different activities, from alcohol consumption to movie theater attendance. One of the takeaways was that marijuana consumers reported regularly engaging in exercise, 27% daily and 34.9% multiple times per week, significantly more often than using alcohol, which is 6.1% daily and 11.3% multiple times per week. Now, another finding from the survey was that cannabis consumers are 4.8 times more likely to regularly exercise than to eat fast food, which is 1.5% daily and 11.5% multiple times per week.
Well, no shit.
Yeah, which, you know, okay, I'm thinking about this. I'm going, okay, so 4 times 8 more likely. Okay, well, that's... yeah, from what though? And they're saying, okay, well, anyway, that like I said, I'm kind of I think they're making more out of the survey than is actually there, because there are several other studies have similarly found that cannabis users exercise at average or above average levels compared to non-users, bucking the long-held stigma that marijuana makes people lazy. And this is one of the latest data points to show the same. Now, notably, the new poll also found that relatively few marijuana consumers frequently use food delivery services. Yeah, that's not real food either. With just 3.3% reporting that they order delivery daily and 8.3% saying they use services multiple times a week. In contrast, 69.5% of respondents said they drink coffee regularly.
Coffee.
We like coffee. And only 4.5% said they often visit movie theaters. We don't even have a fucking movie theater around here. They've all been closed.
Not anymore. They turned it into a church.
Yeah, I know. And in fact, actually, some of the other movie theaters they had around here also got. They only, yeah. Anyway, I mean, the palace, right? Is which is like a, you know.
Yeah, but that shows like movies from forever ago.
Yes,
however,
it does. However,
there is actually a drive-in movie theater in. Over across the mountain that I fully intend to take you on a nice night to watch a movie from forever ago that we enjoy. I just haven't decided which one yet.
Yes, I see. Well, only 4.5% said they often visit movie theaters. And of course, as I say, there's none around here. And 64.8% said they routinely take nutritional supplements. Now, the survey from NugMD involved interviews with 603 cannabis consumers with a plus or minus of 4 percentage point margin of error. Now, meanwhile, a last year's study found that marijuana consumption prior to exercise can lead to greater enjoyment and an enhanced runner's high.
Coincidence? I think not.
You know, I really haven't had a chance to put that to the test, but I've also been, you know, that's another thing. I'm honestly one of the reasons I'm more concerned about like trying to get my allergies all sorted out rather than trying to exercise, because I want to be able to breathe and be able to do it properly. And if I'm allergic to everything all the time, that makes it kind of hard to do what I want to do. So
it really does. And hopefully, you know, you'll lessen your allergy to the good and things will be better. Now, what things were not better for is a middle school teacher who's been found guilty of giving marijuana-laced brownies to sixth graders.
Put it into a blender, and soon it will render. These little fudge brownies that help me get stoned.
Apparently, a former middle school teacher in Colorado likes getting stoned on those little fudge brownies because she was found guilty in court of giving two of her students marijuana-laced brownies as a reward for their work. Sharon Wilson, 55, was found guilty by a jury on Thursday of two counts of misdemeanor child abuse following a 2024 incident at Kepner Beacon Middle School, according to the Denver Post. Now, of course, she denied the allegations.
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there was a way to prove it because the two students alleged they were given the brownies by their then-English teacher as a reward for naming the most words rooted in Greek and Latin. Sorry, lady, when you get stoned and talk like that, that's not Greek or Latin. But anyway, they say they were unaware that the brownies were laced with a psychoactive drug. So Wilson, who had worked for Denver Public Schools for over 22 years, was known for regularly bringing homemade baked goods to class, as reported by the Denver Post.
Ain't nods as good as a wink to a blind bat.
However, on one occasion in June of 2024, a student who was 13 complained that the brownies had a weird sour taste, so he put them in his backpack. Now, despite not liking the taste, he didn't alert the teacher because he didn't want to be mean to her, according to his testimony to the jury. Now, after consuming part of the brownie, he said his head started to roll and things began to look a little weird. He said then he got the munchies, as evidenced by the unusual amount of macaroni and cheese and fried chicken that he ate when he got home. He added that after the ordeal, he took a long nap and he felt better. Meanwhile, the other student thought from the onset that the brownie smelled and tasted like marijuana, according to the prosecutor, Brad Watts. Now, wait just a fucking minute here. The hell is this kid knowing what Mary Jane smells and tastes like? I mean, he did say he knew it smelled and tasted like it, yet he ate it anyway. Was he already a consumer? Was it like, ooh, baby, teacher gave me a little bonus laced brownie here, woo-woo-woo. Then he has to fucking play innocent like, nah, mom, I don't know what's going on, man. Now, he said that after he ate it, he felt nauseous and really out of it, and he required his friends to help him to his mom's car at the end of the school day. The other child's age, of course, wasn't revealed in the documents. We know he was a minor. We get it. Sixth grade. We can pretty much guess he was around the age of 13-ish, unless he was a fucking waterhead and then he got, you know, held back. Maybe that's what the weed did to him. So his mom noticed he had bloodshot eyes and was actually, or he was acting unusual. So she raised the alarm, first by asking if he'd taken any drugs, which of course he denied, and then contacting his teacher to ask exactly what were in those brownies.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Now, she told the teacher that her son had begun to feel sick after consuming them, and the teacher's attorney said that his client responded with no mention of marijuana and had genuine concern for her student's safety.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
So, of course, the panic mom took her son to the hospital and contacted the principal and the cops and saved part of that brownie so it could be handed over to the cops, fucking narc. Now, the brownie, of course, came back positive for THC. Who's surprised there?
No shit, Sherlock.
Now, her attorney strongly denied that the brownies contained any drugs. You're gonna love this one, y'all. He argued that she had given them a previous batch that he had defrosted and that it had been susceptible to freezer burn. Are you shitting me, lady? This is the defense that you have? Is that, oh, yeah, no, they were probably just freezer burnt. There was absolutely no weed in them. No, not at all. Now, she did admit that she made weed brownies in the past, but adamantly denied that the ones that she gave her students were laced, according to her attorney.
Deny, 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 right?
She was placed on paid administrative leave at the end of the 23-24 academic year. And of course, not surprised, she separated from the Denver Public Schools ahead of the 24-25 school year. What I think happened? It's very clear. She grabbed the wrong batch. She had the weed brownies and the normal brownies. First of all, you lazy fucking cunt. Why didn't you just make fresh brownies for your fucking class? This is what you get. Because I think that's exactly what it was. Well, she had laced brownies and regular brownies in the freezer, grabbed the wrong pack, didn't think anything of it, didn't taste test them before giving them to the students. I wish I had a teacher like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think it's now time for our tech segment.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Yeah, I think we're going to, but I think with the idea that we are going to potentially do this other podcast, so we've kind of reduced the number of stories here because it does make life a little easier.
Right, when we actually remember to record it properly, yeah, when we, actually, we do 2.5 bends, yes, that's which, why there will only not, be two
yeah, it's
in this script.
Yeah, yeah, now we're, but yeah, but there, I don't think that's going to happen this week from what we can tell. But anyway, what did happen most likely is that ChatGPT got absolutely wrecked by an Atari 2600 playing beginner's chess.
Have you played Atari today?
Well, fuck, I used to play chess on the Atari 2600. And sometimes I could beat it, sometimes it beat me. And this was back in the 1980s. And surely you think ChatGPT could run circles around an Atari 2600, right? Well, Citrix architecture and delivery specialist Robert Jr. Caruso recently pitted the 1979 Atari chess title played with an emulator for the 1977 Atari 2600 console gaming system against the might of ChatGPT 4.0.
Fight!
Now, the concept of computing performance being graded by chess playing ability is one of those things that has just been, and we've been doing this forever, right? And, you know, I remember the stories back in the day of, you know, the Garry Kasparov playing IBM's Deep Blue and, you know, the fact that that was the first time a computer had beaten an actual, like, grand chess master, right? It's one of these things that's always been interesting, right? So now in 2025, the Deep Blue supercomputer's processing power of approximately 11.4 gigaflops seems puny compared to even entry-level modern processors. So one might expect an Atari chess running in an almost 48-year-old games console emulation instance to be easily beaten by ChatGPT.
How about a nice game of chess?
Yes. So as Caruso pointed out in his LinkedIn post, the Atari 2600 had very little in the way of computing power. It was powered by a MOS Technology 6507 processor running at 1.19 megahertz. Meanwhile, you've got, 3 gigahertz on your on modern smartphones these days. And performance would probably be more sensibly measured in kiloflops, not gigaflops. Now, the chess engine that Atari Chess ran only thinks one or two moves ahead, according to the Citrix engineer.
You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
So Caruso said he tried to make it easy for ChatGPT. He changed the Atari chess piece icons when the chatbot blamed their abstract nature on initial losses. However, making things as clear as he could, ChatGPT made enough blunders to get laughed out of a third-grade chess club, says the engineer. Typically, though, ChatGPT 4.0 kept promising to improve its mastery of the game. The old 8-bit gaming platform would continue to beat it for as long as Caruso had the patience. Despite his direct assistance during the game sessions, ChatGPT couldn't muster the smarts to beat the Atari chess beginner opponent and eventually conceded, according to this LinkedIn tale.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Yes, so here's the thing, right? You have to remember that ChatGPT is basically autocomplete on steroids. If you think autocomplete does thinking, you're fucking stupid. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, that's a full stop statement for sure. And what's interesting is we have another ChatGPT story in our tech segment about how
Encyclopedia Britannica. It's back!
And it's better than ChatGPT.
There is something you could have which would help you a lot. Do you know what that is?
No, but I'm afraid you're going to tell me.
Yes. It's the new Encyclopedia Britannica.
The internet spelt doom for Encyclopedia Britannica's weighty tomes sold door-to-door to middle-class parents over the past century. However, having ditched the printed editions in 2012 after 244 years, the company is now fighting back with artificial intelligence, and its chief executive believes it's more accurate than ChatGPT.
The only winning move is not to play.
Jorge Caus said students were flocking to its AI Britannica feature, which was launched in September to answer questions using the online encyclopedia's article. Database. The tool uses Google's Gemini software to simulate conversation, but it doesn't rely on vast reserves of data from the web like other LLMs. Instead, it uses Britannica's collection of 130,000 balanced, fact-checked, beautifully written, hopefully enjoyable articles to satisfy the curiosity and limit the number of hallucinations common with other models.
There's a lot you don't know.
The traffic to Britannica's function is still a fraction of its rivals. It has 1.5 million monthly visitors who spend 6 to 7 minutes per session. ChatGPT has at least 500 million active weekly users, according to Sam Altman, its founder. Kaus, who has worked at the company for nearly 30 years, has previously criticized Wikipedia and Google for returning inaccuracies in search results. Which is funny because at the bottom of each answer, Britannica notes that AI answers may contain errors. Please verify information using Britannica's articles.
Fact check false.
Meanwhile, Wikipedia just recently introduced AI-generated summaries of its articles. They were so bad, Wikipedia turned it off. Now, Kyle's defended the choice to risk inaccuracies to harness the benefits of AI. I mean, if that's what they want to do, that's great. But I'm still a big fan of a hard copy of an Encyclopedia Britannica all day long.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's funny because as I was saying in the chat, I actually have sort of an encyclopedia. It's an encyclopedic dictionary, and my dad gave me one as a gift, right? And unfortunately, it's one of those things I got rid of over the years. But I found another copy of it at the local Goodwill, and I actually have it.
Epic.
Yeah. So it's a 2-volume set, right? So it's not like an Encyclopedia Britannica, but it actually has some like pictures and stuff like that of you. So it gives you a little bit more information than a standard dictionary, but not on some things, but not, it's not really a full encyclopedia like the, you know, like the old Britannica articles and that kind of thing. So
yeah, I remember having a full set of Britannicas and I used to read them all the time. I credit it with the reason that I am as intelligent as I am, because I went above and beyond just the shit they taught in school and actually took the initiative to read certain encyclopedia volumes.
All right, well, I think it's time we head to the junker. What do you say?
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Well, I'm actually surprised these things are even still around. Well, there's one that's still around anyway, and it wasn't for until a couple of years back. The lost operating Woolworth's lunch counter will be up and running once again in California.
Everybody gets enough food down here in Long Lane.
And we'll get some Slappy Joe, Slappy Joe's a little later on in the Studio 33. When the first lunch counter opened in New Albany, Indiana, around 1923, the F.W. Woolworth Company was already known for innovation. Founded by Frank Winfield Woolworth in New York in 1879, the retail chain sold staple items from pencils to baseballs at low prices, often just a nickel or a dime, a revolutionary concept that helped Woolworths expand to 5,500 five-and-dime stores nationwide at its peak. I do remember these things being around when I was a kid. And then the company took the concept a step further by offering shoppers an affordable meal.
Sometimes if you listen very carefully, you can hear my genius.
Now, a 1939 menu featured cubed minute steak, pan gravy, and buttered beets with a roll and french fries for just 25 cents, which is about $5.68 today. Like many public spaces in the mid-1900s, some lunch counters were subject to Jim Crow laws and thereby inadvertent political crucibles. Now, in 1960, four black college students in Greensboro, North Carolina, launched a sit-in at a Woolworth lunch counter to protest segregation.
You racist bastard.
Now, the sit-in spread to more than 100 cities, and within 6 months, the Greensboro lunch counter, now part of the Smithsonian's National Museum on American History, was desegregated. A counter stool is also on view at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Last month, erroneous news reports falsely claimed that the lunch counter artifacts were being removed from display.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Now, Woolworth's dominance was challenged by a boom in discount retailers, and by 1997, the company closed its 400 remaining U.S. stores. The last operating lunch counter in Bakersfield, California, is no longer owned by Woolworth, closed in 2022. However, this June, that counter in Bakersfield is reopening, serving hot meals again after renovations by husband and wife owners Emily and Sherrod Waite, who have installed images of historical sit-ins above the luncheonette, as well as landmark pieces by artists of color from the 1930s to today.
Yay!
Now, the kitchen equipment is all original and still functioning. And back in the, yeah, I mean, they used to build shit that worked back then, albeit with some challenges. Now, the Waits have also reupholstered the built-in red lunch stools in the original teal and peach color scheme and removed the laminate floor to uncover a charming terrazzo tile. And although it isn't original, they're keeping the sign over the door that reads, "Visit Woolworth's Luncheonette," added in the 1960s. It's iconic to locals, and the Waits would not dare mess with it. I think the whole community would probably hang us out to dry if we replaced it, because they love it that so much, Emily says. Yeah, you know, it's nice to see those, you know, those artifacts of the olden days are still there, you know.
And you know what? We've been talking about taking a trip out to California at some point, and this might be on the list of something we do when we go out there, is to actually take a trip to Bakersfield and visit this, a little BOTG, and take some photos, because, you know, Pixar didn't happen, and we can kind of come back and toast and jam about, yeah, we went there, we ate the food, and, you know, give a little opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah, this fucking guy, right? Mm-hmm. He flew 120 times for free by posing as a flight attendant, and he was convicted of fraud.
You are now free to move about the country.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
So, Treyon Alexander, 35, was convicted on June 5th and faces up to 20 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000 for wire fraud, and up to 10 years and a fine of also $250,000 for entering the airport's secure area.
Access denied.
he's scheduled to be sentenced on August 25th. Now, why, you might ask, is he facing all this? Well, according to an October 2024 indictment, Alexander worked for an unnamed airline from November 30th of 2015 onward, and though his role was not disclosed. The indictment states that he was never a flight attendant or a pilot, and according to the court documents and evidence presented at trial between 2018 and 2024, he posed as a flight attendant for airlines and booked free flights on an airline carrier's website that was reserved solely for pilots and flight attendants.
No soup for you!
Alexander booked and flew on 34 flights with one airline without paying for them, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And over the 34 flights, he claimed the airline carrier's website application process, a process that required an applicant to select whether they were a pilot or flight attendant and provide their employer, date of hire, and badge number information. He worked for 7 different airlines and had approximately 30 different badges and dates of hire that he used to fly these 34 different flights.
I've been everywhere, man.
Evidence presented at trial showed he also possessed a flight or posed as a flight attendant on 3 other airline carriers. In total, he booked more than 120 free flights by falsely claiming to be a flight attendant. And according to the indictment, he entered a secure area of Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport in Broward County on or about July 22nd of 2020. TSA investigated the case, and it's unclear when he was arrested or if he has legal representation.
Oh, you don't have no authority over me, bitch.
And of course, there's no comment from the federales. So this is an ongoing thing. In a way, it's funny, but I have several questions that have cropped up due to this story. First and foremost, did he work for all these airlines? How did he get this flight attendant outfit? Because let's be honest, it's not like you just walk on in your street clothes. You're dressed in these little company-appropriate tight-ass outfits.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's a lot of questions that are not answered in this particular article about how exactly he was able to A, pose that many times, B, fly that many times. Where did he get the outfit? Nobody else was like, hey, who's the new guy? We got extra help on this flight. All right.
Well, no, this is like, but you know, I can sort of explain what he's doing is he's flying. So the way that the airlines sort of do things is that they kind of let each other book because you have to move passengers, you have to move the flight crews around, right? And sometimes they need to use available space on another flight on a different airline to be able to move the people around, and so they actually have agreements. And in fact, I one of my ex's friends used to work for Alaska Airlines, right? And so they would act, and she was an she like worked in customer service or whatever, but her family flew, you know, on space, what they call space available, right? So these are called non-rev passengers, right? But basically all the airlines say, look, if one of your employees needs to go from point A to point B, we can make it happen for like no cost kind of thing, right? So they kind of do this on what they call space. Like I said, they do it generally on space available basis, but they might do it in some other cases as well. So this is actually something that happens, right? It's an entire system. But what I see with this is that they're obviously not doing a very good job of verifying the information is actually correct.
Well, literally, like, the thought I was having as you were going through that explanation was, wow, can you say that nobody's checking your employee roster to block access to the account? Hi, let's turn this into a cybersecurity issue of what kind of holes are in this airline's situation where they are not deleting or
whatever the case is. I don't know where the issue is in here, but obviously this information's out there that nobody checks it, right? Because that's one of those things. The information's provided, but it's probably not checked, right, to see that it's still valid, right? And I would think that you could come up with a system.
Again, though, somebody not doing their job.
Now, all systems are not designed with security. So, anyway.
No, especially since there's still, we covered the, control tower issues that Newark are having and the software still on floppy disks and pen and paper.
Yes. Okay. So I think we're anyway, I don't know what I mean, that's yet another reason to fly not to fly. I
heard
think.
That.
Yeah. Well, it's time for the last call.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh God.
Yeah, we did not get any voicemails anymore. We I think we had the last text that came in, but now this particular segment, which is kind of the last few weeks, has been what I call the dead celebrity segment. I think this time it's okay. So meanwhile, I found this story a day or two ago, right? So I'll provide that as context, but I think it provides excellent context to actually speak about what's going on. So LL, right, is sued over wartime price gouging, illegal and immoral behavior. Now, it's not the only airline in Israel, but it is definitely their flagship airline, LL. They're facing a class action lawsuit in Israel. They're being accused of wartime price gouging. Now, is this just basic economics, or is this just immoral and illegal behavior, as the lawsuit suggests?
The world may never know.
Okay. Have you all heard what the fuck is going on over there? I mean, I was reading a story yesterday that LL basically said, fuck you, right? They took all of their planes out of Israel, right? They're based in Israel. They literally flew all of their planes anywhere but Israel, right?
Not to mention there were actually flights who were inbound on their way to Ben Gurion that Delta and United turned completely around, said, nope, you are not coming into Ben Gurion. We are not affording that risk. And all flights have officially been stopped to the airport.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to fly anywhere near there with what's going on over there. So
hell no, there's daily air raid sirens going off in Tel Aviv and places around it. Jerusalem was recently bombed.
Yeah, there's like I said, I mean, I got the perfunctory email from the
big swinging Johnson.
Yeah, but anyway, he did the perfunctory. Everything's it's still awesome. Don't worry. You know, we got it under control. Right?
Yeah, everything is awesome. Nothing to see over here. Don't look.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, but the reason why I played that clip, of course, is because both of these stories. The other story we have is also, I think, that also involves this. But let's just say I think LL's got a bit more at stake than other airlines, and they've got operational concerns that no other airline has. So the fact that they might charge a little bit more for their services, they fly with fucking anti-aircraft, anti-missile systems, right? So, you know, they actually invest a bit more in certain technology that other airlines don't invest in. So should they get a little more money for it? And they're willing to fly almost any time. And, you know, it's bad when even there, they're like, fuck this shit. We're out of here, right? So,
yeah, that's basically the, last one out turns out the lights.
Yeah, so, and then I think this is also a time, I mean, I think it's seriously like, you know, I think it's important to say, look, we, you know, and my feeling on all of this is that, you know, we support the people of Israel and even the people that are, you know, the people on the quote unquote other side that are just victims of all of this shit. Right. Because look, it's not the people of the, you know, you can say, well, you can blame the people because they vote for the, you know, we know how well voting works here, folks. What's one thing we've learned recently is that that, you know, just because you vote for something doesn't mean you get it. You're probably not going to get what you think anyway. So, you know, so blaming the people for their government is, you know, I don't know. It's like blaming me for anything Donald Trump does makes about as much sense as, I don't know, blaming the average left coaster, the average, you know, bought in left coaster for everything that Jay fucking Inslee or Joe or Blow Jiden do or whatever, right? I don't blame them for it, but, you know, I can only blame them for what they do. Although, again, like, look, this whole situation sucks, right?
I want to actually share with the pedalheads, we have some boots on the ground that came into us via the back channel, and a gaming friend of my son who is in Iran and had sent him a message saying, hey, and my son responded with, what's up? He said, war started. The internet is largely disrupted. All senior IRGC commanders were eliminated. No attack in my city until now. I live in Kerman. Internet speed has been greatly reduced. They're attacking Tabriz military base is now west of Iran. Now, that was the first message. The second message being the regime is moving old F-4 and F-14 jets into east of Iran, Mashhad. They're scared. Most of underground ballistic missile bases have been eliminated. 4G and 5G networks down. My ADSL service still works with low speed. Explosions in Tehran and QOM. Do we know what that is?
I don't know, but anyway.
Okay,
I mean
now. Kerman's still safe and calm. The regime wants to attack Israel with 1,000 ballistic missiles in retaliation. And then there was one more message that came in about this. IRI Air Force headquarters eliminated. Tabaz, northwest of Iran, under strike now. Continuous jamming and electronic warfare. Israel's now going to Fordow underground nuclear facility. The regime attacked people in Tel Aviv. U.S. Air Force must bomb IRGC missile bases before it's too late. And apparently we just got some live messaging.
Jeez.
We just got live messaging.
BOTG, yes.
Yes. VPN apps appear that they're not working. WhatsApp is down. Plink is working for now. I guess he uses it with a VPN. Yeah. Can't check Instagram and X, of course, because a VPN is needed.
It's
regime says they shot down an F-35, but they lied. Don't believe Iranian media. There you go, y'all. Some boots on the ground from Iran of what's going on over there. And their shitty shit involved with Iran. You got it here. Boots on the ground. Where else are you going to get this except for the Lotus Effect of what's really going on behind the smoke mirrors, propaganda, and fear porn of the M5M?
There we go. Well done. Well,
now,
okay, speaking of the M5M.
No, this ain't M5M at all. This is fantastic, y'all. We are excited to bring to you the news that Mel Brooks is returning for Spaceballs 2.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Spaceballs, which was first released nearly 40 years ago. Holy shit, phone boy. Nearly 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're old.
We are old. It's getting a sequel in 2027 from Amazon MGM Studios, according to the announcement trailer posted to YouTube on Thursday. We can expect to see Brooks reprising the role of Yogurt, along with Bill Pullman as Lone Star and Rick Moranis as Dark Helmet. Sadly, we will not have John Candy as Barf, but
or Joan Collins, because you know.
God, that is too. Oh yeah, no, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, yeah,
Dot Matrix. Yes.
Yeah, so this is gonna be
sadly, but you know what? We are all about this. When this thing releases in theaters, the kids and us are totes McScroats going to see this movie. We love us some Spaceballs, in case you couldn't tell.
Yes, and if you pay $20 a month to Amazon, they're gonna put ads in it anyway. So
no, okay, so I actually have a little story to tell on that. We did a little bit of reconfiguring, and it apparently had undone my payment method for YouTube, and we had just had, they're saying it won't be released in theaters.
Well, no, I don't know if that's the case or not. Amazon Amazon owns MGM.
Yeah,
so.
It's Amazon MGM Studios. I'm not saying that it's going to be released.
We don't know.
Only.
Exactly.
Either way. Yeah. And that's fine, because we have Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So we'll just even if we have to pay to watch it, we'll invite the kids over and we'll have a great goddamn time watching Spaceballs. Yeah. But what I was going to say before that, what were we talking about? Because
we were talking about when we were messing with our Tom Collins account and I screwed up all the payment.
So we had recently been talking about how even if you have a paid subscription to YouTube, that they were going to start injecting like a couple of ads here and there. I thought that's what had started happening, because we pay for our YouTube subscription because I hate ads. And the other day, I have it. Now, first of all, I knew something was funky because usually I can run it in the background while I'm working. I don't have to have it on screen and it won't stop the video. That was happening.
Yeah, well, they purposely turned that feature off if you don't have a subscription.
It's a real dick move, okay? Then there was the ads finalizing with the fact that when I went to add a video to the queue, it said you can't add a video without a subscription. That's when I called you and I was like, all right, what the fuck is going on? We've never missed a payment on this account. What's going on? Yeah, we realized it was, like I said,
it was just one of those things in a shared Apple account that, yeah, anyway, we sorted it out. It was not a big deal.
So all I'm saying is the report that we had on YouTube starting to interject advertisements into paid accounts.
Yeah, well,
now I have my account back up and running, I have not experienced.
Well, it depends on what kind of ads, because they will do it in certain circumstances. Probably not with the content you're consuming, but they do it in other cases. Anyway, here's the thing. I think you know what? I think we're finally fucking done here.
I think we are.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it, I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go do Studio 33. We also gotta cook dinner, I think, too. So I'd like to thank y'all for joining us today on that which we call the Lotus Effect. And I think
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.